And a woman came out and she spoke to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaking to her said that the narrator of the hadith says the young lady was attractive. She looked nice. She had a nice face, which means that she hadn't covered her face and that they looked at her and she looked at them. Well, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking and is answering her question, but at the same time Al-Fadl, who is Al-Fadl radiallahu anhu, is next to him. He had no purpose of looking at the girl, at the lady. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would just keep talking to the lady, and then he would put his hand on the cheek of Al-Fadl and just move it away. His brother is asking about the fiqhi positions, meaning the fine details, the jurisprudence of intermixing or interacting between opposite genders, men and women. So if they're children and haven't reached puberty, you know, obviously the interaction is, the boundaries are much, much less. If you have reached puberty and the other gender hasn't reached puberty, depending on their age, again, the interactions are much less. You know, so physical contact's not haram, but there is still boundaries. However, once both of you have reached puberty, even if he or she is your cousin, if they are, you got to learn who are the mahrams and who are non-mahram. Mahram means those who are forbidden from you being alone with them in a closed private room, number one. A non-mahram is also a person who you are allowed to potentially marry. And that includes your uncle's wife. You might say, oh, but it's my uncle's wife. Your uncle's wife is, you are not mahram to her because, you know, in circumstance, let's say she was young or something, you would be able to marry her if she was a widow, for example, or divorced. So even though you're not going to marry her, but the thing is that she's not a mahram. So anybody can potentially marry. Number three, you're not allowed to see their hair if they're a female. You're not allowed to have physical contact with them. Some of them on Eid, for example, parents tell them, don't worry, your cousins, yalla, hug and kiss, cousins, aha, cousins. And sometimes people get married and they have a culture where the son and daughter-in-law have to live with the in-laws, and then they say, well, your brother-in-laws are like your brother. They come in and see her without a hijab. This is all haram. So these are important to know. Secondly, as you saw in these examples from Musa alayhi salam and the young ladies, and we have ample examples in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there was interaction between men and women. There was talking, verbal talking between men and women. Women spoke in front of men, and men spoke in front of women, and men and women spoke to each other. We have a time where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give a private session for women, just for them, and he would answer their questions and teach them. And one time Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu entered, and the women got up and went behind the veil, which indicates that they weren't behind a veil, but obviously they were all covered. But when they went behind the veil, Umar al-Khattab, he heard them raising their voices, like they were asking the Prophet ﷺ questions after questions. And he said, and Rasul ﷺ smiled and he said, Ya Umar, you're amazing. Even the shaitan gets scared of you. If you take a path, the shaitan takes another path. And he said to the women, how dare you fear me more than Rasulullah? Now you're all quiet, but you're all racing each other to ask him questions. And they said to him, yeah, well, because you, Umar, you're harsh. That's why we're quiet with you. Prophet's, you know, easygoing, gives us time. So why did I say this story? This is an authentic narration. Shows us that there is some degree of interaction if there is benefit, and of course there are conditions. So the hijab has to be worn properly. The interaction has to be a need for it. There has to be a benefit for it. And only what is needed should be said, Yani. You can also be kind and say kind words, but not beyond that, inshaAllah ta'ala. So obviously our brothers and sisters have to feel safe and respected among each other. We don't put on a harsh voice, right? You can keep on a normal voice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to soften our voice and not to make it flirtatious and unnecessary to the point where it can give the other person an impression, right? To be seated in a respectful way if there is a need. So they interacted in business. They used to go to the markets. Women would go past, men would go past. So if there is a need, it's not a strict situation of no, everything is haram, no. But obviously, if there is no need, the best thing is that men and women are separated where there is no need, as you see in the masjid, for example. Women pray at the back, men pray at the front, not because men are more superior, but because of modesty. And no men or women of Muslims ever think, oh, men are praying in the front, that means they're better. No, it's a modesty issue. I don't want to go into details because of the different postures in Salat, and to give respect to our sisters. Some of them need to leave, some of them have children, and so on. So the interaction is as such. Now, sometimes you may have family where you interact and you're not mahrams. For example, your brother might be married and sister-in-law comes in to visit, your parents are there, you're there. Are you allowed to sit in the lounge room? From a perspective of fuqh, halal and haram, yes. If there is respect, if there is a boundary that is respected, if the words are full of respect, if the hijab is maintained, then that's okay. I don't know of any scholars who said it's haram, but what is better? What is better is segregation, better. But we live in a practical world where, you know, a lot of our families, they do make sense, can be very hard. You know, you can, you can try, but in circumstances, you can be respectful with each other, there's nothing wrong with that. So obviously, Islam is not too extreme in the sense of no, absolutely no words, absolutely no sight. And at the same time, it's not too lenient. So it's somewhere in between. I hope inshallah this in summary, this actually needs a lecture to talk about in more detail. But in a nutshell, this is how it is. Now the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're a little bit different. There was more strictness on their behavior with the men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. He said to the women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not soften your voices because the men who have an ill intentions or sicknesses in their heart will get the wrong impression. The scholars said this applies to the rest of the women because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives are role models, but to a lesser extent, not as strict and as serious for the wives of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, women should not be flirtatious and soften their voices intending to be flirtatious. So Aisha radiallahu anha, for example, and the wives of the Prophet ﷺ used to speak with men from behind a veil. So either they would be covered from head to toe, even their face, everything. You can't see anything of them. But Aisha radiallahu anha used to give classes to the men. She is the greatest female scholar that our scholars and jurists have ever spoken about. And Fatima radiallahu anha, but the likes of them. And she used to, after the Prophet ﷺ's death in Mecca and in Medina, she used to set up a place and put a veil in front of her, like a screen. And she would speak and teach the men and answer their questions and go back and forth and study, you know, this or that. So as you can see, there's some leniency and it's not, and you know, life goes on, inshallah ta'ala. As for the gaze, the Quran says, O Messenger of Allah, O Prophet of Allah, tell the believing men to lower or to guard their gaze. I won't say lower. Al-ghuddu min absarihim is a little bit different to lowering. And when we say lower, I think you know what it means. Ghuddu means to withhold. Min absarihim, part of their gaze. What does that mean? It means if there is no need to look at a woman and a woman to look at the man to talk, then in normal circumstances, guard part of your gaze. Why? Because you still need to walk in the streets, you still need to go and come. You're not going to be a blind person bumping into poles and things. Okay, that's absurd. So you keep walking normal, but don't gaze at women. So the eye caught him, keep moving on. Ghuddu min. Allah SWT didn't say don't look. He said, yani, cover your sight as much as you can. And if you, and Rasulullah said, the first look is yours, the second one's against you. And the person just move on. But when you're talking together, there's, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, looking at each other while talking, if there's a need, depends on the situation, right? So the best thing to do is you look and then partly sort of not look, and look and partly not look. It depends on the situation. So looking at a person and talking to them to make something clear is okay. But if you can guard your sight every now and then that's good. But don't make it sort of, because you know, when we say lower your gaze, lower, and you take it literally, and sometimes you may be in a job or some any kind of interaction where a man and a woman may need to talk to each other. As we're living in the West, this is what happens. It's impossible to avoid it. So sometimes a woman's not dressed appropriately and there's a need to talk to her. You have to in a situation. It's better to look in at her eyes than looking downwards or anywhere else, because they're not dressed appropriately. So sometimes you've got to look at the situation. Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَاسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. You know, Islam is not an impractical religion. It doesn't tell you to be invisible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Look, about the seeing, right? Because some people I know, they need more explanation. So I'll just give one example. The hadith is in Bukhari, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the, in Hajj, when he went to do his Hajj, the pilgrimage in Fathu Mecca, when they opened Mecca, when they took over Mecca. And with him was Al-Fudayl رضي الله عنه. He was a young boy, young man, probably about 16 or so, 17 maybe. And a woman came out and she spoke to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. She spoke to him. And Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم speaking to her. And the companion describes, said that the narrator of the hadith says, the young lady was attractive. She looked nice. She had a nice face, which means that she hadn't covered her face and that they looked at her and she looked at them. How did they look at each other? Was respectful. Well, Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم is looking and is answering her question. But at the same time, Al-Fadl رضي الله عنه, was next to him. He had no purpose of looking at the girl, at the lady. So Prophet ﷺ would just keep talking to the lady, and then he would put his hand on the cheek of Al-Fadl and just move it away. Then he would keep talking, and then he would look back at her because she was attractive, and then Prophet ﷺ would keep talking and just move his face away, very subtly. And the young lady, she first looked at Al-Fadl, and then when she saw that he moved his face away, she understood very quickly, more than Al-Fadl. Men will be men, right? So she understood, because women have a bit more emotional intelligence than men in this situation. In this situation, something of our brain blocks. So Rasulullah had to remind him a few times, but without making it such a big deal. Oh my God, he's looking, he should be. No, Rasulullah just never mentioned it ever to him again. But what I'm going to tell you is that there was looking, right? So they can see each other's faces, they're talking to each other, but there's a benefit. But whoever didn't have a reason to look, Rasulullah subtly and easily and softly told him to look away. And when she noticed that, she stopped looking at him. I mean, from the first, straight away. So she stopped. So he didn't tell her, because he doesn't want to embarrass her being a female, but he could touch Al-Fadl and move him because he's, you know, a young man. So all of this indicates to us some level of a balance and a level of practicality so that we can get along in our lives. Okay? I hope, inshallah, that gives you a summary. Of course, there's much more to talk about, but I don't want to bore you out with too much talk.